All right, Romans chapter 13. We're gonna seek to finish up this verse tonight. This chapter 13. I'd like to express two main thoughts tonight that I hope that we can all take away. And that is, one is urgency. And the second one is radiancy. Would you remember those two? Maybe write them down. Those are two main thoughts that I'd like for us to take away from the passage tonight. Urgency, radiancy. Let's see what Paul says here. We understand how much he emphasized the doctrine of love. We preached on that a couple Sundays ago, and how it fulfills the law of God. But then he moves down in verse 11, and he's going to take a little turn here. It's not a bad turn, that's for sure. Just a different subject, a different direction of emphasis. He says in verse 11, "And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed." Now remember, that's another proof that he's talking to believers. He's talking to people that have been born again. People just like you and me that are saved. They're receiving the Word of God. They're receiving the exhortation. And by the way, isn't that kind of neat to think about tonight that nearly 2,000 years ago, there was a group of believers in Rome that received the same exact letter that we're reading tonight. Isn't that, that's interesting. It's pretty sobering, and it's pretty awesome, actually. These brethren, just like you and me, they probably, of course, had a different culture and maybe different dress and things like that, different customs, but they had the same human heart that you have and that I have. And they were reading this. And he says here, our salvation is nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. With God's help tonight, I want to bring a message entitled, Don't Hit the Snooze Button. Don't hit the snooze button. Let's pray. Father, I'm thankful for the Word of God, the clarity of the Word of God. Lord, that it's alive, that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And God, I'm thankful tonight that it is changing our lives. I pray that you would work tonight and the time we have together around the Word. And please change us, transform us. Let us not leave the same way we came in. I pray that we would be, Lord, even more dedicated. Lord, just more in love with you. So, Father, we commit this service to you and thank you for what you're going to do, Holy Spirit, as we yield. In Jesus' name, I do pray. Amen. Don't hit the snooze button. You know what? I happen to be one, and I know I may get judged and criticized for this, but I like the snooze button feature. You may have some others here, and I know some of you that are super-duper disciplined. You never hit the snooze button. You're right up off that first alarm. You're right after it, and I want to commend you. I try to do that sometimes. But normally I do like a little extra 5 minutes. How many like a little few minutes? Okay, that's most of you. I feel much better now, okay? I'm among snooze button lovers, all right? But there is a such thing as using it too much, all right? Now, and also, there are benefits of it. You know, benefits of it is if you are slow waking up in the mornings. I think that's a practical aspect of hitting that snooze button. It just kind of helps you gradually wake up, you know. It's not so sudden. And so there are benefits. Those of you that hate the snooze button are already judging me. I know right now. There are benefits of it. You know, if you know you have some extra time, maybe there's benefits there. But then there are also drawbacks. Now, I will say this. The snooze button is not very friendly to people that have to wake up to your alarm. I knew I'd get some amens right there. You know, that's where it can get a little sketchy, all right? That's where you gotta work that out, get marriage counseling, that kind of stuff. But with all seriousness, that is where it can become problematic. It's like, can you please just turn the phone off or get up? And so you have those types of, approaches. Snooze buttons can be okay. Some like them, some don't, but nevertheless, they are there. But I want to say, as believers, as a spiritual analogy, when God hits the alarm clock on our hearts to wake up spiritually, we have no right to hit the snooze button. God's Spirit starts bringing an awakening to your life and my life when we're seeking to walk with God. I'm telling you, it's not a time to hit the snooze button and keep on sleeping. It's a time to be aroused and wake up and to be awakened to what God is saying. But way too many Christians are constantly hitting the snooze button. And yes, people around you can tell. They're suffering because of it. And so I believe Paul is writing here to these believers, because obviously, again, these people are just like us. There were people that were sleeping in the church. They were sleepy spiritually. He also was speaking to some of the believers in Ephesus. He said basically to the children of God, he said, "Wake up, you sleepy ones, you sleepers, wake up." And there was just a sound of urgency there. And so we need to be constantly awakened to the spiritual needs within us and around us. Now, we all know with our physical bodies, there's just certain days where we get tired at certain parts of the day, maybe right after we eat, you know, the eyes get heavy, and, you know, there are certain times that we get sleepy, not necessarily for bad reasons. But let's just all admit this tonight. There are times in our spiritual life that we do get sleepy, and we don't need to be. We need to be awakened. Now, this is not to be confused with rest. There's a thing called spiritual rest, where we rest in the Lord. But when people are resting in the Lord, they're still very aware spiritually. Now, I will say this, God knows how to wake us up. I remember one time being at a camp where there was a perpetual sleeper in the congregation, and it was young people, so it was teenagers. And I don't recommend this, but I did witness this. and this guy had been warned, don't sleep in the service. Well, I guess the director there just had it one too many times. He said, all right, this young man, and he knew him, I'm going to teach him a lesson. So he had a 5-gallon bucket of ice water. Had ice, and it was full. And, of course, I'm watching this progress and take place, and I'm thinking, oh, no, please tell me he's not going to do this. Well, he did it. He came up. That guy was all drooped over, just as sleeping as he could be. And the guy came behind him and dumped that ice water, and all he did was... That's all you heard, him taking this deep breathe in, and he thought the guy was going to absolutely lose it, and then I guess it was all right because he turned around and laughed about it. And a lot of people got a good laugh at that. Now, that wasn't during the preaching, But it was just during one of the parts of the services that they had throughout the day. So it was a good timing, but I'm telling you, it woke him up. And, I want to say, I did not see him sleeping anymore during that week. It got a hold of him. It did something. And I just want to say tonight that God has a way of waking us up. And it's good. And it doesn't have to be anything drastic. I'm just thankful that there can be a message that you hear preached or taught and God can bring an awakening to your heart. I'm thankful that you can be reading in your Word, in your Bible, in your daily devotions. You can be in the prayer closet. You can be seeking the Lord. And God has a way of just stirring and waking His children up. And that's what I see happening here. Now, what is he describing here? Well, number one, in verse 11, he says, knowing the time. Now, this time is not the idea of chronological time, where actually the Greek word for that would be chronos. But this is a different Greek word speaking of the age. Knowing the age. Knowing the age that we are in, that is the church age, that is the age of grace and God's working through His church. But at the same time, we know it is where the world is going to grow more and more wicked. If anybody can show me in this Bible, I would be gladly to submit my heart to it. But I don't see anywhere in this Bible where the world is going to get more godly. It's actually the opposite. The world is just growing in perverseness and wickedness. And so, therefore, well, we might as well just fold it up. This world's just going to get nasty and more and more ungodly. What's the use? Well, Paul maybe suspected that there'd be some believers that thought that way, so he's going to tell them that what the Christians ought to do. He says, you need to know the age, the time that you are in. And he said, it is high time. I like that wording. It's a priority, folks, to awake out of sleep. That's lethargy there, apathy. He's talking of people that have just gotten drowsy spiritually. And he says, for now. You ought to circle that word now. In fact, I count at least six words that deal with time, with the urgency. I see time and time and now. I see night and day. I see day. I see an emphasis here that there's an urgency about Paul in exhorting believers. Do you know there's a lot of things we can do while we sleep? People walk in their sleep. Got any sleepwalkers in here? Anybody ever been known to sleep? Yeah, okay. Yeah, got a few of them. Yeah. Everybody's going. There's a sleepwalker. What about, I got to raise my hand on this one. Lord knows and Joanna knows. How many sleep talkers do we have in here? Oh, boy. Duh. Oh, my. It's bad. It's bad. The way I talk about sleep. Ask Wes Wheeler if I talk about my sleep. We roomed together at the prayer advance, and boy, I had Wes up in the middle of the night looking for something on the carpet. I had no idea what I was doing. I said, Wes, I'm just going by what he told me. He recounted this. He said, you woke up, you pointed at the floor and said, look! Brother Wes looked down and said, what is it? I'll tell you what, he reminds me of that all the time. And he asked that, and he said, I just flopped back over and went to sleep. I'm sure you could tell some stories. People imagine things in their sleep. That's called what we call dreaming. There's a lot of things that you can do in your sleep. Well, you know, it is possible for a Christian to live his life and be asleep spiritually. And we don't want that. I don't want that in my life. I want to live an awakened life. I don't want to just function and go through I don't want to go through the motions. I want to be alive in Christ, have the freshness of the Holy Spirit upon my heart, my mind daily, aware of my own needs spiritually and even those around me, how I can encourage and bless, and I can be aware of those that are lost and be
ability to be touched by it. And Paul told him to wake up. And he said here a very interesting statement. He said, listen, now, that's the present, is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Now, what he's talking about here is not salvation from sin. He's talking about the completion of our salvation. You say, Pastor, you mean to tell me our salvation isn't complete? Well, it is in a certain regard. We are complete in Christ. But listen, I still got a sinful body. I still got a body that's dying. And I still fight sin every day. But there's coming a day where that sanctification process will be complete. Where I will be saved not only from the power of sin, I'll be saved from the presence of sin. That's going to be glorious. Oh, yes. Won't have to battle anymore. But what he is saying here is that is coming near. And I believe he's making the point that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon. And I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that the local church has almost stopped preaching on the doctrine of the imminent return of Jesus Christ. And that is a sad, sad state. We need to understand that the Apostle John said that one of the ways that we purify our hearts daily is anticipating the soon return of our Lord. It does a work in our hearts. In other words, I want to be living in a way that will please Him at His coming. I want to be found faithful. I want to be found fervent. I want to be found filled with the Holy Spirit. I want to be found being friendly to those around me. I just want to be found in a way that would please the Lord. And He could come. He could come today. And I pray that as heaven is getting closer, even Paul is saying here, he's saying, because of this, get to work. There's an urgency here. Don't you see that we don't have any time to waste? Crooked Creek Baptist Church, we don't have 1 minute to waste. Now, that's not to say we don't have periods, again, of rest. Listen, we just put in a lot of hours at VBS. Many of us. A ton of hours, a ton of energy. And I do believe after seasons like that, God wants His people to get some rest, get rejuvenated, get renewed. But the point is we don't stay in a state of inactivity. We are looking ways to reach the lost, to serve this community, and to encourage each other while it is day. Because there's coming a time when no man can work. And the day is dawning, as the verse will describe. You see, Jesus is coming. And it's just like you know, we're at the analogy here is really like a sunrise, folks. If you're like me, when I go to the beach, I love to go out for the sunrises and then to see, you know, go out. I like going out there when it's dark, when I can still see all the stars, and I just get to sit there and I get to see the day dawning. You start seeing a little bit of shade of orange, just a little bit lighter through the clouds, depending on the clouds, and you see it, and finally everybody, and then by that time, after about an hour, there it's been dawn and it's the sun's getting ready to come up. Then you have a lot more people on the beach that are looking, ready to get that shot with their phone or whatnot. But then that one period, boom, that orange sun just peaks and just pops and glows. And it's beautiful. That's a picture of the Christian life. We are currently in the age of darkness. That's what we're in, the age of darkness. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day when Jesus returns. He will come back with us to this earth after He takes His church, and we will come back, and there will be the age of light. The kingdom of light. It will be ruled by the Lord Jesus Christ, but until then, we have to be the light. Christians, you're the conscience of a lost world because Christ is living in you. And that's why I'm so thankful for people like the Clydes that are here tonight and others that have served in public service and where you are, because God has called His people to go out into the world among the lost and be the light. There's an urgency, a great urgency. Do we hear that? Do we feel that? The Lord is coming. I'm not going to go to it tonight because I've
I have just a little bit of time. So, but if you would just note here beside verse 11 and 12, would you write the reference 1 Thessalonians or on your notes? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verses 1 through 8. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 8. He's teaching the Thessalonians the same thing. Wake up. It's real. It's serious. And I just want to close with this. I just believe this, church. What we want to do for the Lord, we need to do now. Please don't put it off. I want to speak to everyone here tonight. Please don't put it off tomorrow, what God is telling you to do today. Don't wait to start that godly habit. Let's do it today. God may call us home today. He may come and get us today. And I believe that if we'll wake up, God will help us with that. We know some other people in the Bible that were sleepers. Anybody remember what the captain of the ship called Jonah when he was at the bottom of the ship and the storm was raging? You remember what he called him? Sleeper. Chapter 1, verse 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." If that's not a picture of a carnal Christian that's sleeping, I don't know what is. He didn't have a care of the world for the lost. He was running from God. He was sleeping spiritually. And a lost man even knew that. May God help us to understand the urgency of waking up and living a life that's empowered by the Holy Spirit. Number two, not only do you see an urgency here of waking up, but I see a radiancy for the believers. A radiancy is needed. Going back to our passage there, he says, "The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off," what are the next three words? "Works of darkness." Now, he's talking to believers, so there are works of darkness in your life and my life that have to be cast off. And then it says, "Let us put on," so you have the put on, put off, but then it doesn't stop there. It has the put on the armor of light. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you realize this or not, and I think you do, but light is a weapon. That word armor there is the same idea of warfare. It's the same Greek word that's used for weapon or warfare. And what the Bible is saying, put on the weapon of light. Because it's for the offensive and defensive. It's for the offense and defense that light can be. Now, some of you may be a greater authority on military weapons and whatnot, but in recent years, of course, laser weapons have long just been looked at as science fiction, right? But as our military, the Department of Defense, researches and uses, we're even using it now in some ways, they're making great strides to advance the weaponry and the use of laser, the use of light. And it's actually has the potential to revolutionize modern warfare. And I'm not just talking about Star Wars stuff here. You know what I'm saying? I'm actually saying they're using it, especially as a defense. And as these missiles that would be launched to attack our planes or other places, using lasers to bring those down. Listen, it's very real. It's a light that's being used to defend. The speed of it is unprecedented. The speed of laser and the speed of light, of course, I believe 186,000 miles per second is the speed of light. And so light is powerful. Well, Christian, I want you to be encouraged tonight. The armor of light is very powerful for the Christian life. God has given us that light, that armor of light, which is the Lord Jesus. And he emphasizes that again here in just a moment in verse 14 when he tells us to put on put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our armor. He is our light. He is our defense. He is indeed the one who will go in this world and fight the forces of hell. It's His power. And so we see here an encouragement to put on the armor of light. So therefore, we need to be honest. Verse 13, let us walk honestly as in the day. Now, he's going to list a few things here that the church, even people in the church, struggle with today. It's same thing in Rome, same thing here. What was this? Rioting. That's carousing. It's, a lot of it has a sexual immorality connotation here. It's partying, that rioting, and they kind of go together. People under the influence of alcohol many times get into a riotous atmosphere and do things that are just violent. And drunkenness, that's just intoxication. And then it says, not in chambering, that's another connotation of sexual immorality. And then wantonness, that's just a sensuality that's uncontrolled. It's an unbridled lust. There's a sexual perversion that is just gripped people, and they've lost the shame. They've lost the shame of it, and just really are bound by it. That's what tries to come in, even upon believers. And he says even this, not in strife and envying. That's bickering. Now, Christians should not bicker. Hey man, let's put off bickering. I love the message Brother Charles taught this morning on meekness. If we can practice meekness, I'm telling you what, we'll be able to put off some bickering. Young people, listen to me. You say, I'm too young for that. I don't know any better. Listen. If you're saved, you got the whole same Holy Spirit that I do. I want to tell you, young people, you ought to try to grow in not bickering with your siblings. You say, well, Pastor, you just don't know my sister. You don't know my brother. He drives me crazy. Listen, there is a such thing as locking yourself in a closet, okay? And not coming out for a while. Give me some peace. No, with all seriousness, I understand. There's temptations there. But young people, listen. God is telling us as a Christian, we need to put away bickering. That argumentative spirit where there's strife and fighting. That's not the way God desires us to walk in this dark world. He wants us to be a light. The world is bickering enough. There's enough strife in this world. Christians don't need to add to it. Then there's envying. That's jealousy. God help us. Deliver us from a spirit of jealousy. The best way to overcome jealousy is, I'm convinced, ladies and gentlemen, is gratitude. I'm absolutely convinced that if you struggle with jealousy, learn to be thankful when other people succeed. When other people have nicer things than you, when someone looks better than you, they're smarter than you, they make more money than you, they live in a bigger house than you, they get more attention than you, la-da-da-da-da, la-da-da-da-da. Just be thankful and say, God, thank you for blessing that person, even when you don't feel like it. Let the feelings catch up. Just obey and say, God, thank you for how you've blessed that person. God, and if they're lost, you say, God, thank you for blessing that person. I pray your goodness will lead them to repentance, like your word says. Lord, let your goodness on them, even they're doing evil. God, I pray they would see your mercy in this and that they would turn to you. Maybe it's someone that's carnal. I don't know. Maybe it's someone, but always look at it. Lord, just give thanks and then thank God for what you do have. I tell you what. It just really burdens my heart to think of God's people being jealous of one another. That's of the devil. Man, let's just be happy for one another. Amen? Let's congratulate one another. Rejoice with one another. Weep with one another. I just believe there, when we do that, there's going to be a radiancy about your life and my life. I believe there will be a radiancy about the local church. Man, those people actually get along. Now, Corinth didn't have that testimony. Everybody in the community know that crowd. Boy, they did not like each other. All kinds of division. But there's radiancy. And then here in closing, my time is up. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's that put on. That's that armor of light. It's Him. It's Him that's going to live out His life through us, through the power of the Spirit. We put off that junk, that stinky stuff that's done in darkness. And we stand out in the light and we shine out in darkness. And make not provision for the flesh. That word provision actually has a deep meaning. It carries the idea of make not forethought for the flesh. Don't plan on giving in to the flesh. Don't plan on sinning. Don't make provisions. Don't plan it out. Well, I know what I'm going to do tonight. I know what I'm going to do tomorrow. I know what I'm going to do to that person. I know what I'm going to enjoy. You know what that is? That's making provisions for the flesh. And what you can decide right now is, no, I'm not. Does that mean you're not going to choose to sin? We all do. But you don't need to make provisions for it. Don't get a planner for how you're going to sin. Why don't we just make a planner for how we're planning not to sin? Make some goals. God, this is my plan of not giving in to the flesh, but plans of giving in to the Spirit. How many of you think that's a good idea? Hey, man. We want to put on the light. I want to close with this. Would you please, I want to read this verse. I'm not going to preach on it, but I do want to read it. Would you go to 1 John with me? 1 John. I know this is revival preaching, folks. This is where God had us tonight. I'm just preaching through the book. Notice 1 John. And would you join me in beginning to read in verse number 5? Did I say 1 John chapter 1? Okay, 1 John chapter 1. Notice beginning in verse 5. This then is the message. Now this is written to believers. Remember this. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. You see, I love the very fact that when we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And my encouragement to you tonight, as we wait on the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, let us have a sense of urgency and may we all have a sense of radiancy about our lives. Let's pray.